Going to take a little trip down frustration lane. You ever read the Bible and you read stuff so many times that you think you know all the stories and you got it all mapped out in your brain how it's going to happen? Okay, well, I do. I'm the only one. But I've read the story about feeding the 5,000 a zillion times. I've heard it preached on. Everybody know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? So what happens in the story of the feeding? Mark chapter 6. What happens in the story of the feeding of the 5,000? This is some Jeopardy questions here. Go ahead, raise your hand. Yes, sir. What happens? They all come to have lunch, right? Right. So they get there. There's no food. Jesus decides. He says, feed them, right? How do they feed them? What? Little boy brings his lunch. Okay, you guys are tuning in. Okay, so what did he have? Two fish. I always get confused. I'm like, five fish, two loaves? Two fish, five loaves. So that's right. He has two fish and five loaves, and he feeds them. God tells them to, as soon as they're done feeding everybody, he tells them to get in the boat and row across the lake. And they go going across the lake, and a storm comes, and Jesus sees them out there struggling, so he starts walking on the water, one of the most, probably the coolest thing to see Jesus do. But he's walking on the water, and he gets to them, and all of a sudden, in Mark 6, verse 51, I started reading a verse, and I'm pretty sure I'd never seen it before. So I thought maybe, oh, it's a translation. I got to switch translations. It was a weird Bible, you know, I don't know. So I went back to my King James Version, and it was still there. And here's what it is, and we'll get into it. Starting in 51, it says, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And I'm like, what do you mean they didn't understand about the loaves? That was like a half a chapter ago. What is he talking about? And I started kind of looking into the whole concept as there was a lesson for the disciples to learn, the lesson of the loaves, and they didn't learn it. And it's kind of crazy. So as I started studying, as I started kind of looking into this, I was kind of a little bit confused because I'm like, certainly some of the big guys, you know, what's the lesson of the loaves? Like, make sure you spread jelly on one side and, you know, the other, toast it? What's the lesson? There's got to be something good here, right? And as I started going through, God really started opening my eyes up to the concept of how we minister to people. You know, we've been going through Revelation for the last couple months, and Revelation is a really cool book. It kind of like blows your mind at all the things and the amazing power that God has and all the things that he's doing. But as he kind of, you know, we guys, we've been going through the bowls and we've seen the plagues and all the things that God pours out. And at the end of them, it always kind of baffles my mind that he pours all of this out and it says, and they still wouldn't come. And they still wouldn't come. And they still wouldn't come. And so even in God's wrath, he's providing an opportunity. He's ministering to them, the people, in his wrath, begging them to come. And as I started kind of going through that, I'm like, man, that's the way I want to live my life. And that's why how I want to approach my ministry. And I don't know about you guys, but I know you guys want to have that those same kind of experiences with God. So I started going through. So we're going to jump back towards the beginning to kind of figure out what in the heck is the lesson of the loaves. So we're going to come back in chapter 6, starting in verse 7, and we're going to see what's going on. So as it starts off in chapter 6, Jesus goes to Nazareth, and he starts teaching and sharing there, and we find him kind of bummed because it says a prophet is never accepted even in his own home. So they pretty much are kind of down there like, man, aren't you James's or Joseph's son? Isn't your mom Mary? We kind of know you. And so he's a little disappointed and he starts to leave. I'm going to pick it up in 7. It says, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money bags, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And also he said to them,
In wherever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and they preached that the people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they were healed. And that pretty much just sums up exactly what I want my ministry to be like. We can all sit back and look at kind of what we expect to happen in ministry. We expect to happen when we share the gospel, and kind of what we expect, we anticipate that how we want to be used by God, right? How would you like to for the Lord to anoint you so that when you walk into a place, unclean demons just flee? They're like, Jason's here. I'm like, praise God, that would be like the coolest. I'd be like, demons go. And they would just go, you know. Even the, weren't they amazed? Didn't they come back to Jesus and say, even the demons, you know, they fear your name. They just bail, you know. I want to be able to, you know, I've been to the hospital a bunch of times with Jackie and visiting people who are sick and in trouble. And I always come away kind of solaced because there's nothing I can say to help them. And I pray and I ask God. Even one time this guy was super sick and he's passing away. And I'm like, God, I know you can heal him. And I was, you know, don't we want to all feel the to be used by God to say, get up out of bed. I mean, how many of you guys, I mean, seriously, like show of hands. How many of you guys, I mean, that's, really? You guys are all, I would have expected more. But I wanted to be used by that. And I seen him suffering there, sitting in this bed. And I remember just praying. And I was kind of embarrassed. So I didn't want anybody to kind of hear my prayer. But I'm like, God, you know that. I know you can do this. And I know you would just be totally glorified. So I just kind of slipped my hand and just touched his foot. And I thought, well, God, do what you're going to do. Do it. I want to see that kind of manifested power, Lord. I want to be a part of your plan. I want to be a part of the things that you're doing. And I remember just being kind of bummed that I walked out and a couple of days later he passed away. And I was like, man, where does it, when Jesus says, you know, it's better that I go because there's going to be, the Holy Spirit's going to come and even greater things than the things I've done, you're going to be able to do. And I've always kind of gone, man, I haven't seen any of that. I've been kind of disappointed. And the reality is when we become Christians, we anticipate this amazing time. Right? Everybody, you know, feels it. And have you guys ever been to a place where the Holy Spirit really kind of rained down and, you know, all kinds of just a free experience of worshiping God? Guess what we try to do? We try to recreate it, right? We want to do that again. I even try to get the fire at the same height than a campfire song, and but it doesn't always work. But that's what I really want. That's the type of ministry that I think we all want to be a part of and that we all want to see happen. I'd love to see, you know, to pray over my dad and have him speak in tongues and believe in God. I'd love to see people with addictions and things all of a sudden just from a word of from God's word just to be able to just be a new creature just instantly. That's what I really want. And it's sometimes I'm a little bummed as I read the Bible. It's like, man, he just gave them the power and they just went out and did it. And it's kind of funny. That's kind of what we all want. And that's kind of maybe something that we're kind of all looking for. But it's interesting that as we kind of go through this, he's going to send them out and these things are going to happen. And he's going to give us two very different styles of ministering as we kind of go through chapter 6. This particular one is, man, there's amazing things that God can do with people and that he does do. Have you guys ever seen anybody, you know, or been a part of a service like that or heard a word that just kind of rocked you? I'm going to ask for examples. So how about, I remember the one that when I got saved, this guy, I've told the story a million times, but I was a young man and didn't know exactly what to do with life. And I prayed to God, God, I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be all these things. I don't know what to do. And I, you know, probably about a 10-minute prayer. And the next day, this crazy guy named Bill Bishop, who always bugged me, and I'm like, just kind of weird, came up and started talking to me about, you know, partying too much and being silly. And he said, you know, why do you got to do that? And I go, why do you care? You know, what's your deal? Why do you care about what I'm doing? And he said, man, I feel like God's laid it on my heart. And then he repeated my prayer back to me. And he said, I want to teach you how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, how to be, you know, basically everything that I had prayed that night. I remember just like tears rolling down my face and I didn't say nothing. He goes, you all right? I go, I'm fine. Praise the Lord, you know. But I knew that God was manifest in that experience. And it blew my mind. You know, it literally, I knew that the Holy Spirit heard my prayer and told my prayer to him, and he told it back to me so that I would believe. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and I was like choked up for like days. I mean, every time I seen him, I'm like, get away, let's go. But how many of you guys, have you guys ever had an experience like that? Have you ever been a part of that? Tell me a little bit.
My first wife left me and kind of put me in a tailspin for about a year. And I ended up going to finally rededicate my life to the Lord at Scalvary Chapel Twin at that time. And then went to Hawaii with friends' houses in the middle of a big pot plantation.
Good times.
And, yeah. And I was there and I said, like, Lord, really, I wanted a new start. I wanted to go where I had all these plans. And this is what you got for me. I mean, this is what's going to happen. Really, I'm sitting here, what am I supposed to do way out here? I mean, this isn't right. This isn't what I had in mind at all. And I actually heard a voice, just as loud and clear as talking to you or anyone. He just said, I'm in there and I'm really letting the Lord have it, letting him know that he's really glory, because, I mean, this isn't right, you know. And this voice comes out, just a clear voice says, there's a Calvary Chapel on the other side of the island. And I went, yeah, I know, but I don't know anybody over there. And I stopped, I went, wait a minute. I just heard a voice. And then he says, I want you to go there. That's all I heard. And I went over there and spent the next 14 years on the worship team and going to that church and a lot of ministries. Got to be the CSN rep and put CSN on three of the islands over there and both sides on our island and two other islands. It's just a total amazing thing. But I never thought to go there without actually hearing that voice. So it was definitely God.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else have one? Experience? Go ahead, sir. Is he a good looking guy? Okay, well, here nor there. I guess what I'm saying is that as we have a goal or a thought of what our ministries and what our experiences are going to be like, we have this thing that we seem to chase after. And certainly the Lord uses that. The Lord works and certainly can heal people and work in all these amazing ways. But I guess one of the things that I've kind of learned as I've kind of gone through ministry is it's amazing how God can use in a completely different way even some of the hard times that we go through. But this is what these guys are experiencing. They're experiencing the power of the Lord. And as we kind of go through, you can jump all the way over to verse 36 in the same chapter, and it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So you just had this amazing experience with God. And as that whole thing is going on, that's exactly how I pictured my ministry going. That's exactly what I wanted. That's what I expected from God to do. And as God lays out an operation or a way to minister, that is part of it. And as he sets it right in the middle of this chapter, We're going to talk about the murder of John the Baptist. You know, this is the counter swing as the Lord is showing. We're going to talk about the lesson of the loaves, but in the lesson of the loaves, there's two different ministry styles that he's going to kind of showcase set before us. And the writer, as he's writing this, it's not just by a coincidence that he throws John the Baptist in the middle of this chapter, in the middle of telling about all these amazing things that God is doing. But we're going to hear about John the Baptist now. So verse 14, it says, "Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said it is Elijah, and others said it is a prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, 'This is John, who I beheaded, for he has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hands on John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted him to be to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles and his high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias's daughter herself came in and danced, and it pleased Herod and those who sat with him. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." For he also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give to you, up to half my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet, because of his oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, as far as ministries go, this one with the sending out of the two disciples two by two, casting out demons, healing the sick people, awesome. Want to be part of that. Don't want to have anything to do with John's ministry. Being imprisoned, that's not sounding like a cool thing, Jesus. And being waiting to be executed. You know, and it's crazy as God kind of showcases these two ministries, these two things that, as we're going to just in a couple verses be feeding the 5,000, as he's contradicting these two stories and these two ways that God moved in here. I just want you to know God was in both of them. Right? You guys know the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in jail, and he sends his messengers out to Jesus and says, "Hey, I'm just checking. Are you the one? Are you the Messiah, the one that's supposed to come?" And Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Hey, tell John the Baptist, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, and the gospel is going out to the poor." He says, "Tell him all these things, and tell him that basically not to be ashamed because of me. Don't be upset that this is the lot that God wants to use you for." See, one of the things that's tough in our ministries as we begin to share the gospel or we want to go out and witness to people or be a part of the things that they're doing, that guess who gets to decide how that happens? God does. God gets to decide to use me if he wants to use a cool experience where we can lay hands on somebody and they rise up from the dead or they're healed. Praise the Lord. That can be a good thing, but God can also take some of the worst disasters in my life, God can also decide to put me through whatever he wants to put me through so that his name gets praised. And through all of it, John the Baptist never shrinks away. John the Baptist finishes his race the way he's supposed to do it. And you're thinking, okay, well, what does this have to do with the lesson of the loaves? We're getting there. It's coming. But I really wanted to just kind of ask you guys, where are you at, and how do you feel? Are you disappointed with the places that God has you ministering? One of the things that I as I started reading this and kind of going through this, as I started kind of looking into it, I really began to just get this overwhelming concept that I need to be content where I'm at right now. Because right now is what the Lord's doing. If the Lord's going to use me to heal somebody or to share something or witness to something or whatever way he's deciding to use it, I need to be okay with that. And if he changes his mind and decides he wants to use me in another way, then as, you know, if any of you guys were here for the leadership conference, Jackie shared some amazing messages on following the shepherd and God is my shepherd, then if he decides he wants to take it a different way and he wants to use my life in something in a different way to show his power, to show his glory, then as a good sheep, I need to jump on board. And so the first thing I wanted to just talk about as we kind of go through here tonight is we need to do the ministry that God has in front of us. If you have the ear of 5,000 people and you're going to go out and feed 5,000 people, then you need to go out and feed 5,000 people. If you have the ear of one guy at your work who's kind of annoying, but hey, everybody's got one of those, right? So he's a little annoying. He talks all the time. I think Jackie has two of them. I don't know. But if that's the ministry that God has you and you have the ability to do that, then do the ministry that God has in front of you and do it whatever way he wants to do it. If it means an amazing speech that you know, somehow have supernatural orating powers and the Lord just brings all these verses to your mind and, oh, it's amazing, praise the Lord. Let him use you that way. If it's sharing a story of how you've screwed up 1,000 times and the Lord still loves you anyway, praise the Lord. That's what he's going to do. And the cool thing is that he knows the heart of the people that you're ministering to. And he knows what's the best way to minister to them. So the first thing as we kind of go through tonight, I just want you to just kind of put this, you know, we talk about Revelation. Jackie's been going through all that. Okay, it's a scary book. I don't want my family to be a part of that. I don't want the people that I love to be a part of that. So let's do the ministry that's sitting in front of us. How many of you guys have non-believing family members? There you go. There's a ministry. Man, I pray for my dad all the time. I want to see him come to Christ. That's the ministry that we have before us right now. I know some of you guys lead Bible study. Some of you guys do a lot of other stuff. But do the ministry that God has in front of you. So he showcases these two amazing ministries. Right, we have the saving powers, this supernatural deal. We have a kind of the school of hard knocks and the rough road, and then we get to the feeding of the 5,000. So, the apostles come back. They meet up with Jesus. They're going to go off to a desperate to a quiet place because you know what? Let's be honest. Ministering to people is hard, right? Ministering to people is going to cost you something in whatever way God decides to do it. If you're sharing and miracles are happening, it's taxing to talk to people all day long. If you're in a prison, yeah, it's kind of taxing to be in that prison. So they're getting together, and man, they're going to go off and have some good times and take a little siesta, right? I love this because I enjoy napping, and I think taking a break is super good. But I've had a couple instances this week where that just wasn't the case. Share a little story. So I moved into a new house. I live on 500 Broadway. Yeah, it's really cool. Got some neighbors across the street. Hi, neighbor. So I was sitting out in my driveway, and I told some friends about where I lived. And I told my one friend, I moved down to 500 Broadway. And he goes, oh, really? You moved? There's a crazy lady that lives next door. like literally crazy. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of those kind of out. There's crazy lady. And I'm like, okay, well, how crazy could she be, right? I mean, I got some weird family, so maybe. So then I'm talking to another buddy at church, and all of a sudden he tells me, hey, you got a crazy neighbor next door to you. She's crazy. And I'm like, really? She's crazy. Well, you know, whatever. Not a big deal. So I'm at home, and I'm about to relax, and I'm unloading the last of the boxes. And I have a crazy neighbor that lives next door to me. Utterly off her chain, cuckoo ca-choo for Cocoa Puffs. It's a little old lady, and she comes over, and she tells me, I'm loading, I got this huge box in my hand, I'm walking inside the house, and she says, hey, you're going to go get some lye for me. And I'm like, you talking to me? And she goes, yeah, you're going to go get some lye at the hardware store right now. And I go, I've wanted to hand her the box. I'm like, okay, here, you do this, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I just don't quite understand what you're asking me to do. You're going to go get in your car and drive down to the store and pick up some lye and bring it back for me. And then I knew they were right. I have a crazy neighbor. And as I'm sitting there, and I'm going through all this stuff, and I ended up going and getting her the lye. I have no idea how she talked me into it. I'm like, literally, like, I'm walking the house, and I pick up my keys, and my wife goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going to the hardware store to pick up lye. Oh, it was dumb. So my buddy that was helping me move, he goes, dude, you got to build a fence, like, quick. Like, you got to cut that off. And, you know, and we kind of poked some fun at her and teased her a little bit. And as I was reading through this and kind of going through this, I was kind of embarrassed. Because the reality is, if I'm going to minister for what God puts in front of me, that means sometimes it's going to be the crazy lady next door who needs me to go pick up lye for her. And granted, I got a million things to do, and I did not have time, nor did I have any patience to go pick up this lye for this crazy old lady. If I said crazy enough, like, she's crazy. But as I was kind of reflecting on this, I had an opportunity in going and getting the lie to share the gospel with her. And the reality is, I wasn't happy about it. I didn't want to go do it. In fact, I was irritated with her. I was irritated with God. I was irritated. Anybody who wanted to be around, I was ready to be irritated. Because, God, I don't have time. Look, I've been ministering all day. I got things I got to do. God, I got to finish getting this house. You know. And yet, as he laid this before me, I felt, as I was kind of reading through this concept, I felt kind of the same way these disciples did. I'm like, we're ready to go. So this is the feeding of the 5,000. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them and departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from the city. And they arrived before them, and they came together to him. And this verse is the one that got me. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Look, I want to be used by God. I want to be in whatever way he wants to. And I got to get this through my thick head that whatever way he wants to use me, I have to be willing to step out in that way. And guess what? When I'm tired and when I'm frustrated and when I don't really want to do it, I need to be able to look at that person and have compassion on them. That crazy old woman is in the image of God. I'm ashamed that I didn't want to help her. I'm ashamed. I did because, you know, I'm a Christian and I live next door, and I wasn't happy about it, though. I'm ashamed at how frustrated that, you know, and granted, I'm not saying that there probably doesn't need to be some rules that we lay down between us. Knocking on my door in the middle of the night, going to get lye, isn't going to be something we do all the time. But when I look at her, I need to be able to see the image of God. I need to be able to witness to her and have compassion on her just like anybody else and be able to see that she's a woman who needs help. One day, I'll probably be dead and my wife will be a crazy old lady living next door to somebody. For sure. Hey, honey. She's a crazy old lady now half the time. But I hope that there's somebody that watches over her. I'm hoping there's somebody to buy her some live that live next door to her. I hope that that God brings her the people that that she needs. And so I just pray that as we're ministering, that we have compassion on the people. It says, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it give them something to eat? I love the smart aleck disciples. I think I would kind of have been a smart aleck disciple. He's sitting there with Jesus. Jesus has decided to minister to the people. He's answered the call. He's doing the things that God puts in front of him. And what was the one thing that when he sent the disciples out two by two, what did he tell them to take with him? Right? No bread, no money, only one tunic, pair of sandals, and a staff. So as Jesus is looking at him, and these guys are all kind of realist. I'm like a realist. Hey, it's getting late. It's time for these guys to go, if you know what I'm saying. It's time for them to find something to eat, need to go. I'm kind of hungry. They need to go and do their thing. And Jesus said, hey, you give them something to eat. And it's amazing that he's kind of like smarts mouth back, like, what do you want me to do, God? Like, go to town and buy bread with all the money you told us to take? Like, you told us no money. Like, I'm just pointing out the obvious here, Jesus. Maybe you missed it. I know you're kind of busy teaching and all that, but we don't have no money. And it's amazing to me to see the power and the things that God has. So the first thing that I wanted to stress tonight was you need to be able to do the ministries that you have to do that God puts in front of you. The next thing is going to be use what God's given you to do those ministries. Use the things that God has given you. Now, I realize if God hasn't given you 200 denarii worth of bread, you can't give 200 denarii worth of bread out, right? You only can do what you got your hands on. I can't go and, you know, if she would have said fly to, you know, Egypt, I want some sand, I probably couldn't have got her sand. I don't have a jet. There's no jet in my parking lot. No jet, no sand. Lie that's down the street, I can do lie down the street. Why? Because I got a car. My car works. It's two blocks. I can pick up some lie. You know, are we willing to do the things that God puts in front of us with the things that we have to do them with? So what's the first thing God tells them to do? He says, well, we don't have 200 denarii worth of stuff. So he said to them, how much loaves do you have? Go and see. So he said, why don't we just, I love Jesus. He's just kind of tricksy. He goes, I know you think you know what's going on, but just go see what you have to work with right now. And they come up with this boy, right? They come up with the boy, and he has the five loaves and the two fish. And it says, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. And so they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. You know, here's the thing that I think we need to keep a good grip on. God's going to give me a ministry that he puts in front of me. And it may not look like I want it to look. It may not have the glitter, or it may not be, you know, I don't know. But there's a ministry that God has in front of me. And I need to use the things that I have to minister And I'm going to need to take those things and minister the way God has allowed me to minister, and then stand back and watch God do the work. This blows my mind. 5 fish and 2 loaves in the hands of Jesus Christ can do wonders. Will blow people's mind. We'll be talking, obviously we're talking about it thousands of years later. The simple things that we have, that the Lord has laid at our feet, if we are just faithful with those things, He's going to do all the work. He's going to do the amazing thing. Remember the story of the talents, right? One guy has 5, 1 guy has 3, 1 guy has 1, right? And the first guy goes out and he does, good things with his talents. And when he comes back to the Lord and he says, "Hey, I got your 3 talents and or 5 talents and 5 more. And he's like, "Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Good job. You did good." And the guy that had 3 does his 3 and he says, "Oh, now I got 6. And he goes, "Oh, good, good job." And the guy who has 1, right, just got 1 little talent. Didn't think it'd be that big. Like, "What do? I got 2. Oh, thanks." Right? But no, Jesus wanted him to use that 1 talent, whatever way he could, to use the things that God had set before him. But when he didn't, what happened to that 1 talent? It was gone. And it was given to somebody who would use it, who would invest it wisely. I know we don't have an endless bank account. I know we don't have all the time in the world. I know there's a million reasons why we have things to do and people to lives to live. But I think that God is looking for people to just do the everyday stuff, to just be willing to do the things that He puts in front of them and to use the gifts that He's given them and to let God work and do all this. And it's crazy. These guys missed that. To the disciples, the people that were standing out there who wanted to get fed and wanted to do all this stuff were a burden and a nuisance. It was an irritant. "Man, can't this lady get off my back porch? I got to put my stuff away." And you guys fill in the blanks. I know you guys have people, right? Isn't that the thing? And so Jesus, seeing all this, he gets a little frustrated. So he says, here's what he's going to do, verse 45. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. And while he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." So Jesus, they've missed the lesson so badly that Jesus is going to go pray on the hill for them. Can you imagine how that prayer went? Oh, God opened their eyes. They can't see the things that are right in front of them to do. I'm just guessing. He could have been praying for the sun to shine the next day. I don't know. But he goes up on the mountain and he starts to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And when he saw them straining at rowing, and for the wind was against them. Now the hour was, now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. I love that part. Can you imagine, you're sitting there rowing and there's storm going on and your life is just going, you're like, "Oh, I can't help it. I don't know what to do. It's crazy." And Jesus is like hopping on the waves, like, "Doo, doo, 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 doo. Hey guys, I'm just going to walk by." It's like, well, what would you have done? I would have been freaking, and these guys certainly do. And it says, then he saw them straining and rowing at the 4th watch of night. Sorry about that. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." These guys, the one thing I love about ministry and the idea for us to minister to people, what's the biggest thing that makes us reach out towards God? It's our own troubles. Let me tell you, they had a hard time seeing the ministry opportunity in feeding the 5,000. "Man, I got things to do. I got my own agenda to accomplish." But when you're struggling in the middle of the sea about to drown, and Jesus shows up, what do you do? "Jesus, I need you. Where are you at?" They didn't miss the lesson when they were in the boat, did they? They knew exactly what was going on, and they knew exactly what was needed, and they knew exactly who could give it to them. And I don't want us to miss out on the lesson of the loaves. It says, when do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. And marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. I don't know where God has your ministry. I don't know the things that I know you guys all have busy lives and a million things to do, but to be really honest, you are the ministry power of this church. He's in Arizona right now. He's ministering down there at an abortion mill, and it is an amazing thing. But just so you know, he is feeding and equipping all of us here at this church. Why? So we can come and sit in here and be happy that we're smarter people now? The whole reason why he shares, the whole reason why he teaches, the whole reason why we study and want to be a part of his plan is so that when we have the opportunities, how many of you guys got jobs? Better raise your hand. Right? Every one of you has an opportunity in your workplace. How many of you guys have families or neighbors? You know, I'm glad I live on a corner. I only got two. Praise the Lord. I can handle two, Lord. Thank you. But all of us, Jackie's been equipping us to go do the work of the ministry. And it takes place in the everyday. Granted, I came from California, and I went to school with Greg Laurie for a little bit, and went to Harvest Crusades, and went to church of 5,000 people. And the one thing I can really, really tell you is that although there is amazing work that can happen at a crusade and all that, but the real miracles of life happen in the everyday. The people that you can help, the people that you can open up with or share the gospel to or be there to go get their bag of lye in the middle of the night. That's really the ministry. That's where the ministry takes place. I appreciate, I certainly love being able to teach, and I love Jackie, but the real testimony to the preaching that he does and the spirit that he shares with us is if we're willing to go and take that to other people. How will they know that we're his disciple? How is the world going to know us from everybody else? Right? He says, they'll know you're my disciple, speaking of Jesus. They'll know I'm a disciple of Jesus, my love one for another. And man, as I was kind of reading through and going through this, just like the disciples, I think I've missed some lessons. I missed the lesson of the loaf because my heart was hard because I had a lot of other things going on. And I know you guys are busy, and I'm not trying to browbeat you or anything, but I just pray these three things, that we take the opportunities that God puts in front of us. God's given each of us. We're going to have an opportunity maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. But take the opportunities that God puts in front of you. Use the resources, the blessings that God has given you. And be willing to, you know, in whatever style God decides to minister, whatever way whether in my poverty or in my blessing, my abundance, whatever way God decides to minister, when you look at people, look at them like Jesus did. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. I pray that you guys are moved with compassion when you see people. I pray that when we stand before the Lord, it will be with those words, well done, good and faithful servant, even if we only got one talent. Even if maybe my part was just that little old lady, I don't know. But if that is, when I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter your Father's rest. So I just pray that if you guys want to take a look at this in more depth, I think there's a whole bunch of stuff to be gleaned there. But let's not forget the lessons of the loaves, and let's not let our heart be hard to the ministry that God's called us to. Because he's called you to something. It's out there. So I say we just take the city by storm. We'll start at the east end. We'll just kind of come in droves, whatever it takes. Just take the opportunities that God's given you. Let's go ahead and pray, and if you guys have any questions, I'll be more than happy to ask or answer.